There's a new witch in town. And hello? There's a new witch in town. Sorry. And we're going to be talking about the return of Little Witch Academia. It's going to be season two, episodes 14 and 15. Welcome back to the Land of Magic. Reach out, and our after show will begin. It's the Little Witch Academia after show, and it starts right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Little Witch Academia after show. I like this new theme.
Yeah.
Not as much as I like the old theme.
I know, it's good, yeah. But the first one was just so great.
So magical.
It's hard to beat.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. I kind of like the new one, though.
Oh, no, it's not bad. Yeah, it's still real good, and all of the visuals are fantastic. But welcome into the show. We got the whole team here. We got Rachel Goodman.
Hi guys, I'm Rachel. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Rach Goodman or Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman, and I'm super excited to talk about the show.
Oh yeah, you are.
We got Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hi guys, I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles.
And I'm the internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. I'm so happy to be back talking about this show. It dropped unceremoniously on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Out of nowhere.
Why not? Like, yes. No hype, no nothing.
Nope. Like, P.S., we're back.
Yeah, I guess. it's weird. Some anime these days are going... That was quick. Are going with the season change, but the episodes continue with the full number.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little ongoing
mm-hmm. trend here.
Because I thought in Japan it was all part of season one, right?
I thought so too, but somebody let me know that it's still season two, episode 14, 15, 16, so on and so forth. Because My Hero is doing that as well. They're on like season two, episode 35, but it's only like a 20 or so episode season. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's bizarre. Welcome everybody in the chat. We got a lot of folks in here. We've got PW Gregory. We got Eastman. We got Balana Beb. I'm on time for once, they say. we've got somebody named Rachel Goodman in the chat. Jason.
Hi. Who could that be?
Jason Potter, Kaylin Geddes, and Montserrat. Welcome back, everybody. We've got our whole wizard crew, witch crew here. So this was essentially a two-parter. But in two separate episodes. Apparently somebody told me wrong that it's still season one. Well, someone was messing with me. I've got conflicting reports. Go me. Anyway, not going to change it. Did you feel like this should have been a one-hour special? Or was splitting it up, did that give you enough time to have like an extra moment of, that just happened? Sort of a thing.
Yeah, I think it did work as a two-parter. It kind of hit two beats, so it worked to kind of split them up and give you a little intro and then where are we going from here? And then kind of plunge right into it.
Mm-hmm. I agree, too, because they were still, even though there was kind of a running theme, it was still two different episodes with two different things going on, kind of. So, yeah, I liked it and I appreciated it. And I personally didn't mind since we were able to watch them back to back.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Had we had to stop, it would have been.
Then I would have been kind of annoyed.
Somebody suggested that we do the first episode by itself and then do the rest, which I don't know.
That could have played out interestingly as far as us theorizing
what would have
happened next.
It would have been so mean.
True.
So the first episode, New Age Magic. We get a little bit, I think the reason why I would consider this a two-parter is because in both we have essentially a recap of the first part of the episode, or the first set of episodes. When it comes to Ursula at the top of this episode, talking about the words of Arcturus and how they're starting to be revived. And then in the next episode, when we have Croix going over Croix?
Croix, I think.
Okay. Because I watched it in Japanese, and it was completely different. I flew to Japan to watch these episodes and flew back. My arms are very tired. I made it worse. So Croix. Wait. How did you say it? Croix.
I think I heard Croix too.
Okay. It's been a Monday, but we're back and we've got the six girls all hanging out talking about what just happened, which is sort of a nice way again to bring us back into the season. But we find out that Ursula wants to tell Akko the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help her, Shiny.
Yeah. When I heard this. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. What happened when you heard this?
When I heard this, I was super excited, but part of me thought, there's a but.
Exactly.
Something's going to happen, because if a character wants something, they never get it right away. So what's about to happen?
Yeah, sure. We get all this build up. Like, here she goes. She's going for
yes!
it.
And then
it's not
going
to happen. I know it.
Especially with the first set of episodes being all about, when is it going to happen? This is going to happen. And then being told right at the top, this is going to happen. And then then your expectations are set up, and now you have to go back to the back of the line again. And make your way back up to where they have that moment. Oh, especially when it was something that we got a sense of the overarching plot with the words of Arcturus and what the main crux of story is going to be. And then we got back into our regular case of the week, silly magic story of the fairy union going on strike so that they could get more use of the Sorcerer's Stone. Amazing. I love this setup.
It was great. It raises so many questions about how this school operates. Like, so many.
And not even just the school, but the whole world.
I need, like, a guidebook to the rules of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not a typical show about witches. There's so many unique takes that they're having on this. And I loved everything about the fairies going on strike. It was so modern.
Yeah.
Great.
Not my favorite moment coming up later, but we get Ursula sent off to local magic growers who have set up farms on the ley lines to try to create their own magical energy to try to get some extra stuff in at the school, some locally sourced magic. It's pretty funny, pretty excellent. The end.
It is.
But while Ursula's gets sent off on that, very conveniently.
Of course. I'm gonna talk though.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to her.
No, you're not.
And then they send her away for the whole season.
Exactly. Like, that's what.
Right. Not even just the episode.
That. Like, she's not coming back.
She's just not there.
That's it.
Season three.
So terrible.
She done. But while all of that happens. I'll be back. I promise. The fairies end up setting up these blockers around the Sorcerer's Stone so that the witches don't have access to magic, so everything goes to hell. Basic amenities. It's the equivalent of, like, a power outage. Of a major power outage where you can't use anything. You have to go back to doing books and memorizing everything on paper. Paper!
They make them write things down on paper.
Absolutely awful.
Unbelievable.
But we end up getting introduced, I wrote down, and people are right in chat, but I wrote down this Kamina-looking witch, because the big red cape, like from Gurren Lagann, introduces the concept of Magic-tronics on her iPhone.
At first, I almost thought it was a male character.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did. I wasn't sure because of the eyes. I was like, oh, wait, is there going to be a male teacher? And then, no.
Nope.
They're too traditional for that.
Those were my notes. I was like, male enters. Oh.
If only they gave her like a shave undercut as well, even though it was kind of that compared to what her hair was in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But we got magic Roombas flying around. We find out that this is the new professor that's going to be starting at the school. Professor Croy. I wrote it down so that I don't speak inappropriately. But it wants to help show the future of magic, which gets Akko's attention. But all of the power outages and such, they lose so much of what they can do, and they don't like not being able to use magic to the point where... Actually, I was going to ask, Yzman kind of brought it up. Did anybody see the Roomba, or the thing that stopped the blocker, and go, oh, Constance, to save the day again?
That was my first thought.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, I was like, oh, machine is in magic. We've got someone who works on that already.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pick up on that at all. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I guess I kind of figured it was one of the faculty that had come to save the day.
Yeah.
But then when we started seeing all these modern equipment, I just really didn't know what to think.
They actually looked, instead of Roomba, well, even though it was a Roomba because it did the actual Roomba thing, they looked like Weebos from Flubber. The little floating gimmicks.
Yep.
But Akko takes Lotte to go and translate so that they can get the power back because she is a woman on a mission.
Very motivated.
And as the teacher, and the second they cut to the teachers walking outside, he's like, let's try to convince them. I was like, something's not going to go well.
Oh, boy.
Either they're going to come across Akko just shouting at them, which is what I thought it was going to be.
That's what I expected.
Indiscriminately, but what did you think was going to happen?
So, okay, I had no idea that she was actually going to join.
No, me either, but something was going to happen when they said once the teachers were walking up.
I thought she was just going to get in trouble for going and talking to them without a teacher. That's what I thought was going to happen and be the extent of it. Not that they would show up and she'd be like, yeah, strike!
Sitting nestled in between all of them.
With,
oh, boy.
Her, like, bandana around. I thought that was hilarious.
She joined them. What do you know about the working class?
Lotte is just like, I don't know what happened. Stop her.
It all happened so fast.
I'm just bewildered.
I was so shocked. In my notes, I wrote, Akko has joined the fairies, all in caps, with like 500 exclamation points.
You sit there and think about it, and it's like, oh yeah, no, that makes sense with her character.
It does, though.
Well, yeah, no, like, just from a strict... just because we didn't know what happened in the intermediate, seeing her join and show this passion, that part definitely made sense. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, but then when it's brought up later, and we'll get to that, it makes even more sense.
Yes.
But my note here for what happens next is Diana with her perfect theme and her perfect hair and perfect logic tries to convince them that the strike will cause them to lose their jobs and their homes and their families will be out of everything, which makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Absence is like, oh, and they're starting to be like, yeah, you're right. And then Akka's like, no, she lives in this big room. You don't even know.
She called her a bourgeois person.
Bourgeois.
Bougie. Aristocrat.
Diana is bad and bougie.
It was hilarious.
It was so good. It's like she took a beat and then she was like, no.
Yeah.
But
then it's right after this when Lotte questions, nobody will be able to get to use magic. And this is the heart to Diana's brain, where it's, if I want to use magic and that takes power from everybody, she doesn't want the burden to be bared across more than just her. Mm-hmm. She wants everybody to be able to freely use the power of magic as they see fit, and she wants to improve the magical world for everyone, not just witches, which is just so lovely. It's just a wonderful time.
It's such a pure sentiment.
Yeah, and then we got this this cube goblin that scared the crap out of me.
Oh,
like, hey, cube goblin! I remember the cubes from episode 13. Yeah. I remember these cubes.
These are going down.
Yeah. Now, upon seeing this cube goblin, what was everybody's opinion of said cube goblin?
So I knew something was going to happen with this cube goblin, but I wasn't sure what to make of it.
Cublin.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also didn't know exactly what it was either, because it seemed like it was partially machine and not an actual organic being.
Right.
So I was wondering who controlled this thing and what was going to happen with it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the way they were setting up the episode, they almost... because we had the very obvious introduction of someone who was bringing technology and magic together, and it was almost like the obvious step there. But then they were presenting her in such a way that was kind of like, oh, are there like other forces? Like something is going on. There's something outside pushing in.
Mm-hmm.
They presented her in such a powerful way. Mm-hmm. And then this Cublin.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
TM.
TM.
Cublin.
I think the first time we saw it was when Lotte was... looking, and she thought she saw it, and then he just kind of vanished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she was visibly freaked
like
out.
A mysterious little creature.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I did. And the fact that it looked unnatural compared to how fairies and goblins and giants and all that are do come from the natural world, it was very much, of course, a callback to the cubes that we saw at the end of episode 13. So, oh well, this isn't going to be good. But then whoever that person is. Set it up so that we can have this uprising for one reason or another to stop magic. And then, in the next scene, when Croy presents the Sorcery Solution System, or SSS. now if it was the like the sorcery system, if it was anything where it was just like SS, that probably would have like huge red flag.
Yeah.
But triple S's, we got one more S, that's fine. To help replace the reliance on the Sorcerer's Stone. Now it's clean energy that doesn't cost them a dime, but tradition is what's keeping them from implementing it. Now, in a moment that made the fans happy, probably the shipping community happy, Hannah and Barbara, they bribed a heat sprite to keep their bath warm so that they could bath together. All right. But then somebody comes and douses water on it, almost kills it. And then we got a riot. We got a big old school riot.
It happened real fast.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's that damn cube goblin again. Then we got the cube goblin evolving into the cube monster. Cublin is a better word. But ultimately, Croy comes to the rescue with the Sorcery Solution System and all of her machines to pull out the negative energy.
Yeah, conveniently reprogramming them. Wonder where that negative energy came from in the first place.
I almost thought that something she could control emotions when I saw when I saw that, I was like, this isn't gonna end well. Because if she can control emotions like that, what else can she do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And something that I didn't really pay attention to until the second episode, as she identified the type, the quote magic type, and it was all red, which was associated with anger and all that, which of course if you read any of the Green Lantern War Corps, any of that sort of stuff, then you know color and emotion, or you just know what color and emotion is, you wear a mood ring, good on ya. But very, very Not a fan of, like, very, very good presentation, very curious presentation, especially be like, oh, don't worry, during all of this problem, I have the solution. That's not normal.
What a convenient problem to suddenly have.
See, here's the thing, too, is that in most movies, when someone comes in and they have all this technology and they're making such a big deal that technology is going to take over and save the day, it always backfires. Mm. So that's what I was thinking. Like, okay, when's this going to backfire? I wasn't quite sure how I felt about Croy yet, but I figured that her solution was going to cause a bigger problem than fixing whatever, you know, anything that was happening.
Ultimately, yes. Yeah. I agree with that. Something was going to happen one way or another, whether she was the person that was ultimately going to be at fault or not, that solution was going to be the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Caitlin in chat says, I'm not going to lie, when we were first introduced to Croy, I thought she was more like Lockhart. Oh. I don't know why, but I did.
That's an interesting observation. I agree with that.
You know what? Yeah, with the flashy attitude, I can absolutely see that.
Yeah.
The flashier someone is, sometimes the less substance there is behind it, so.
But she ends up saving Croy ends up saving the day, decommissions the cube goblin, and says the stage is set. If that doesn't sound evil, oh boy. Ursula, then the end of the episode is Ursula returning to the school, seeing it in its new state, everybody walking around with tablets and iPhones and things of that nature, and recognizes Croy. And then it stops there.
Done.
Which, that's where I agree. Yeah, that's a great moment to go, ah, who is she?
Hold on, there's a history.
But then just sort of as a reprieve before we move on to iTunes in the next episode, we also got our new outro.
We did.
And I don't know how they did it, but they made it more fluid, more pretty, more colorful, and just more nice. It's just so nice. What did y'all think of the new outro?
I loved it. I love, like, even the old outro, but yeah, I love the new outro too. I always love when new seasons change things up a little bit, so I really appreciated it. And I think that they actually show Croy now, and they have a really interesting, I'm not sure if this is the intro or the outro, where all of a sudden the characters flip. It's like two people, and then it flips.
Oh, in
to
the intro.
Yeah.
There is a moment where young Chariot and young Croy are like going their separate ways or something, but they're like holding hands.
Well, no, it's Diana and Akko walking towards each other, and then as they pass, it flashes to Chariot and Croy, and then it flashes back to what Diana and Akko were wearing, and they clasp hands.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, foreshadowing?
And also telling us a little bit about the characters of Croy and Chariot compared to our girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, before we move on to the next episode, I would like to tell you about iTunes. In order to keep this this show afloat, and in order to let the producers at the studio know that you want more anime content, the best way to do that is to go on iTunes and leave us a review. That also helps us show up earlier when people are looking for Little Witch Academia. They'll find our show. They'll become a part of the family and end up loving it just as much as we do and just as much as you do. Now, Zero Cross Donkey left a 5-star review that said, "I was insanely pumped when I discovered this podcast. I love the show and thoroughly enjoyed this podcast every time." Well, Zero Donkey, if you're currently in chat or listening on iTunes, thank you so much for leaving that. And that's the sort of stuff that we're talking about. If you leave comments, if you leave reviews, if you leave ratings, then people will be able to discover the podcast and join along with us. They'll be able to find all of our other anime shows. Voltron counts. As well as Attack on Titan and Yuri on Ice. And if we happen to do any others in the future, those as well. So make sure if you're listening or watching and haven't left us an iTunes review, head on over to iTunes. And if you are in a non-US territory, those won't show up on our iTunes. So take a picture of it, take a screenshot of it, send it to us, and we will read it on the air like that. Now, let's move on to Chariot of Fire. I was expecting a completely different type of episode with a name like that.
Yeah.
Whoops.
That went places I didn't quite expect.
Completely agree. Though, with the title, I did figure it had something to do with Chariot. But
I'm kidding. I'm absolutely kidding. It's a joke. But something that did happen that we didn't mention at the end of the last episode was that Akko seems to be super taken with Croy. Mm-hmm. And just like, oh, this is the new world of magic. I absolutely love it. I could use magic anywhere. I don't just have to be by the school anymore. So it's at the start of this episode where we find out about the new the new gimmick, the router, the magical router.
I love how it was called a router.
I mean, that's what it does. You know?
Adapt where you can.
Yeah. So, we already got the magical internet. So to have a magical router as well, that helps people associate that with, oh, it's a router. I know exactly what that does. It's just with magic.
Yeah.
So instead of having to use the power of the Sorcerer's Stone to gain their magic, it pulls it directly from the ley lines, which power the Sorcerer's Stone, which is an amazing idea.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why it's hard to, like, watch them pile on all the heavy villainry here. It's like, but this magical technology is actually really cool and really practical.
It is, but the thing that kind of threw me off is right in this beginning scene with how Diana was reacting to it. Very differently from Akko, and she just...
The entire rest of the class.
Yeah.
Everybody was all, like, swiping up and left and right and down, and, oh, magic! But she was just like...
Oh, no. Yeah, she was not having it.
I don't like it.
And Diana has proven to be very trustworthy when it comes to magical knowledge. Mm-hmm. So if she feels like something is off, there probably is something there. Like, I would absolutely believe that, you know, she's picking up on something that's very clearly wrong.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I might want to wait to do this, but touching on, like, maybe comparing Diana to Croy.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Her instincts, Diana's instincts are unparalleled.
Mm-hmm.
In certain aspects, yeah. Both her and Akko have amazing instinct for certain things. Not everything, poor little Akko. But Ursula comes across Diana researching Croy, just looking up a yearbook back in the day. Always dedicated to the pursuit of magical energy, and you used to know her, right? Ah, so I gotta go. She's not subtle.
Even Croy looked different, though. She's not obviously trying to hide herself.
No, but she had purple. She went to college. Yeah. She went to a liberal arts college, got a new haircut, and got LASIK eye surgery.
Yeah.
happens all the time.
I mean, look at how Chariot has changed.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Some of it is by choice.
Kind of opposite, I mean, but yeah.
Going back into her shell instead of coming out of it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Diana, but as Ursula leaves, Diana ends up looking up Ursula. And wonder if she's like, I didn't find an Ursula. Hmm,
there was no Ursula, but she keeps talking about being at this school.
Who are you?
And sounds like she knows Croy.
Yeah, Diana's smart. She's going to get there.
Yeah.
She's going to get there real fast.
And I like how most of the time, or at least for these first two episodes, it's just been Diana, being perfect, and reading books. Like, that's it. She had the one time to be like, no, you'll lose your jobs. And then like, well, whatever. I'm just going to read now.
She's just researching her happy little things. I mean,
her quiet actions are saying a lot more than if she were being more outspoken about all of this.
Well, yeah. And it kind of shows she's not just barging out there and like protesting everything and having a problem with things. She's taking the time to do the research, to be informed. And then I'm sure we'll have a very explosive confrontation when she has all the facts. But only when she's sure.
And she's been quietly, throughout this whole series, she's been quietly researching a lot of different things, too.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, very characteristically Diana, she's just, you know, I feel like there's going to be a moment where she does come out and starts doing things. But right now she's just in the planning stage.
Mm-hmm.
We also, it seems like we get the real name of the shiny rod. We get the real name of the shiny rod, and it's very Latin. Very Latin.
Very Latin.
Yeah.
Did you all watch in English or Japanese?
Japanese.
Okay.
This episode I watched only in Japanese.
Okay. Because I didn't get a good read on this one, because she only said it once.
I rewound it, and I tried to, like, write it out how you would pronounce it, and then I just promptly gave it. I can't say words anyways, so that was just...
I'm gonna say Clown Soleil. If anybody could put the
shiny rod.
The shiny rod.
There's a reason it has a nickname.
Well, you can't market that name. You can't put that on a T-shirt. Expect people to say it.
I mean, you'll get people staring at it for a solid minute trying to figure out how to say it.
What is that?
Shiny rod.
What is that? Oh, okay, all right.
Right?
But we turn the L's into the shiny rod, and then that's what'll sell it. And then from this scene, we go to Akko being super obsessed with Croy. Just like, oh, she's so great, and we got this new tech and all this great stuff, and it's great, and it's great. And Amanda doesn't like it either.
Nope, Amanda is not having it.
Yeah. I wonder the... Okay, I'm gonna write some stuff down and do some things. But this whole scene, we find out that Croy also won the title of Moonlight Witch.
She did.
And that puts her in the same timeline of Chariot, which sends Akko on a tizzy, especially when they start making fun of Chariot again.
Mm-hmm.
What did y'all think of the scene?
So... First of all, as soon as when we were still in the cafeteria and basically the teachers came over and they were basically comparing Chariot and Croy, that is the moment when I finally like dawned on me, oh, well, Croy and Chariot were basically the same version of Akko and Diana, except I personally don't think Diana is as bad or bad at all. Like, I think Croy is going to turn out to be.
Yeah, I think they had a similar dynamic in school, but I think they are wildly different characters.
Yeah.
And I think, right now we're seeing on the superficial level, that's how their relationship worked, essentially. But the kind of people, because the kind of person I think Diana will turn out to be is going to be extremely different
than
the kind of person we're seeing.
Yeah, because Diana, like, I know she might have her gray moments, but... I like Diana as a character, and I think she's inherently good. So I couldn't see her doing the things that I have a feeling that Croy's going to end up doing.
Yeah, and we'll probably find out that it was one moment that set the Chariot and Croy on their separate paths.
Yeah,
I am pretty sure we'll get a flashback episode. That'd I think be it'd awesome. Be weird if we didn't.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I agree. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, now we know there's a lot of history there that needs to be told. So it would be odd if we didn't get some of that.
Yeah. I have a feeling we've already seen some of it just because of what our chat has said last season, and I'm going to leave it at that. Just in case people haven't gotten that far. Dang it. He's when I told you not to be too suggestive. Anyway. I'm trying to remember where my mind was when I wrote these following notes. Connected to her? Shiny rod? Akko, no.
They're great notes, though.
Okay, that's right. Akko goes into Croy's classroom and is like, oh, did you know her? And she's like, yeah, she was great. I mean, she, of course, she went up to this one thing, but I think what she did was absolutely wonderful. And that makes Akko tear up.
Yeah.
Like, you're the first person that's talked about her in a positive light. Like, even her friends still give her crap about being Shiny Chariot fans. It's really unfortunate. But with that, ends up getting blinded to, maybe this is a bad idea. That's why. I need something that's connected to her in order to possibly find out where she is. Oh, I've got something that's connected to her.
And then Rock,
of course.
What did you call it? Yes, the shiny rod.
Bring me that.
But they end up going to the New Moon Lab, which is in the Tower of the Sorcerer's Stone, which already is like, you set her up next to the power source? You people are crazy.
This seems like a terrible idea.
Yeah. It was, because Ursula ends up trying to find Akko to just tell her everything. Lotte's like, she went to like the New Moon. Ah, no! And just go, stop her.
That's when you, like, it was already obvious that Croy was up to no good, but when Chariot was like, okay, I'm running.
the pure panic thing.
I'm reminded of the wise words of a superhero, Mermaid Man, evil! Evil! Because Akko comes in, it's like, I brought the thing! And she goes to touch it and, like, has a flashback and is like, no,
a flashback of Chariot.
No, but because we're talking about a family show, I can't say exactly what I said, but I was like, zap her! Zap her! Zap that woman. fill it in. Anyway, knocks Akko out. Which already I was like, what are you doing?
I thought it was going to be way worse than what it was.
But then we get the callback to the first episode of the season, which where it talked about how it was the red magic that they were going to, and the shiny rod is powered off of yellow magic. Okay, and then it seems like there's some sort of a green magic that everybody else utilizes. We got more spectrums coming.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah,
there's more to learn. There's always more to learn. So much. So many questions.
A Kasad in chat says, Unichariot, yes, my child. Follow me to your obvious doom. Absolutely! Unichariot!
That's the only prerequisite Akko needs.
She said good things about her.
I know. She was nice about Chariot. Everything she says is true and good.
She likes her like me. She's my new best friend. Hey, come to my creepy lab. All right.
Sounds good. Unichariot.
But without a doubt, the highlight of this episode is a scene that I would like to call Zero Suit Ursula. Yes. Where
Spider-Man
just full like takes out the robe, and I was like, wait a minute, what's going on? Bodysuit?
Oh,
what the hell? And then throws out the glasses, red hair's blazing, she's full chariot mode, and is just like, I need to protect my sweet child. Jeez! Yeah. This was so cool!
She was climbing the walls!
She was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was, because, I mean, we've kind of wondered all of that. So does Chariot still have it? Is she still, like...
If this was a wrestling show, everybody would be chanting, you still got it. Damn. Oh,
can I just point out too, really fast, that
take as much time within 6 minutes as you want.
So okay, I was thinking that Croy and Ursula were much older than what they were, but in one of the newspaper articles, it said that Croy graduated in 2007. Mm-hmm. So okay, I'm like, huh?
Because the yearbook that Diana grabbed out said 2007. As
yeah.
Well.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, that means that the teachers are like my age, and it's like,
or at least these two.
The rest of the teachers could be not so much.
Fennelyn, who knows? She could be any age.
I would, I'm going to go with probably a lot older than any of us could imagine.
I think the professors that were talking about them as students were teachers at the time and may have been their age becoming teachers.
No, not that.
Not Finland. No. Finland is an immortal tree.
She is as old as the school.
We're going to have to cut her in half and count the rings. She's that old.
Maybe
she's
not a bad idea.
Hey, that's rough. Trenton Dixon says the animation in this fight was great. Totally agree. Didn't expect any sort of a legit action scene like this, but holy crap.
Pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
To see it. Yeah. That was a good road to go down.
If we can say, like, which scene was our absolute favorite so far in the show, I would say this scene, definitely. And the scene where she finally gets to sort of have a confrontation with Croy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that was, to have it end with Croy going, anyway, and then just grabbing her with cube rope. Mm-hmm. I called it techno rope. But we end up finding out that she's after this world-altering magic. What is this world-altering magic? Whatever. All of my studies on Akko prove fruitless. Whatever. I don't want her anymore. And then, again, further proving that she's the best mom, I'll protect Akko's brilliance with all of my might. Which is an amazing line, an amazing setup. But even more so, I wish Akko I wish that Akko didn't have to wait to find out the whole story. And then she was told at least part of the story.
Yeah.
I got some.
Yeah, I heard something about world magic. What? Now we find out a little bit more about the world. We find out that Yggdrasil, the life tree, was actually a major part of the universe. And and even better, this whole story started with Once Upon a Time, which I thought was such a lovely touch. Beautiful. I love this place. Yes. And the animation here, I'd say, was even more beautiful than Zero Suit Ursula, that whole fight scene, just because it showed that it felt like a different world. It felt like a different time. It felt more fluid. It felt more magical, you know, for lack of a better word. We got Stonehenge name checked. Awesome.
We did.
A big portal for magic, and we find out about this Grand Triskelion. Or rather, Akko finds out about the Grand Triskelion because we've been hearing that name for a couple of episodes at this time. And you can find out that if we unlock the Grand Triskelion, then we can return to a similar era of magic, to the, quote, great era of magic. And then the encouragement happens. What did y'all think of... Did anybody think that this was going to be the moment when it was glasses, hat, red hair?
I didn't think that Chariot was going to tell her, but I almost thought that for a second Akko realized it, because she was like, Chariot? And then and I think that Ursula/Chariot thought she figured it out too, but then it was just like Akko had a different realization where she finally, you know, figured it out that, that's probably why Chariot disappeared, to find the word. So if I do it, she'll come back.
Bless her pure heart.
Which was cute.
Yeah.
But that seems like a... And to have her have that dream can help her work harder.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're going to have a very emotional moment, whether it's this season, whether it's next season, wherever, where Akko does unlock all of the words. And why didn't you tell me? I did all of this to find you, but you were with me all along. He's like, yeah. you got it. But I think it's just going to be something where it's just like super gross crying face and things like that. If I find the words, I'll be able to find Chariot too. Oh, no matter what it takes, I'll find them both. Oh, adorable. Well, I think just for in case of time and we need to watch two more episodes, that's going to do it for this episode of the Little Witch Academia After Show. But let us know if you're watching this after the fact. Make sure to leave a comment down below or find us on Twitter. Leave a comment on iTunes. But if you're watching live, we are going to be back at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to talk about the next two episodes. So please join us live. We've also got we're going to be doing this for two more weeks. Next week, we're going to be doing the same thing, four episodes. And the week after that, we're going to be doing the last two episodes. Please join us for all of that. This has been an absolute pleasure. I almost had it. Pleasure, Rachel. Please let the folks know where they can find you until an hour from now.
Sure. So you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Rach Goodman or on Facebook at Rachel Ann Goodman. I'm also doing the Ray Donovan show on Tuesday at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Guys, I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles, and I'll be here watching Little Witch Academia.
And that's okay. Really quickly, Corazon in chat said that there was a Sabrina reference in the yearbook, which next to Croy is Salem Saberhagen.
I missed that!
And there's two words that they circle, Black Cat and Sabrina.
Oh my god.
Which is
my
silly and hilarious.
I love it.
And also, P.W. Gregory said there was way too little Professor Pisces in these two episodes, which I totally agree.
Always be more Professor Pisces.
Always. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica just for all of the stuff. And make sure to follow all of us here at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you so much for watching this episode of Little Witch Academia After Show. We'll see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.